Whenever you go to a new place, you start to get your boots dirty. You start to meet as many people as you can. You talk to as many people as you can. You walk around the streets of the country and the various cities therein, and you basically get a feel for it. I think the process is the same when you move from place to place, and no matter if it's a city or if it's a country, you just have to, get your microphone dirty, get in there and try and talk to people and hear what they're trying to say.
One of the countries that you've done extensive reporting in is Mexico. And President
Yeah.
Donald Trump has promised a lot of different things in regards to Mexico, building the wall, sending some immigrants back to Mexico, and he's acted somewhat on the latter. So, from your experience reporting there, how would you say this would be received by the people of Mexico?
Well, I think we've seen that the people of Mexico aren't, terribly excited by this. I think it's caused a lot of controversy and consternation. I mean, let's remember that, U.S.-Mexican relationship is really important for both countries. There's a lot of trade, but there's a lot of people-to-people contact too. A lot of Americans have traveled to Mexico. A lot of Mexicans have been in the United States, and so I think that moving forward, there was a lot of discussion at the beginning of the Trump administration about this. But we've seen that those conversations have now sort of died down, and I think we'll have to see moving forward what happens. But I do believe that the Mexican and American relationship is valuable. You really can't, change who your neighbors are. So, you'll have to deal with each other no matter what. There was always a saying in Mexico, a very famous saying about the United States, which is, "Ah, Mexico, so far away from God and so close to the United States." And people would say it, with this sort of sense of chagrin, but also, affection. We are neighbors after all.
To touch on a couple of other locations you've been, you reported in Iraq when the U.S. intervention began, and you were also in Libya during the Arab Spring uprising. Now, sticking with current events, both were listed as two of the president's seven majority Muslim countries in his travel ban. From what you know of the region, what can you tell me about the current identity of the Middle East and how this could be received over in that region?
What I will say about the Middle East right now is that certainly Libya is finding itself in a challenging situation after the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi, and that was an overthrow that the United States was intimately involved with. Iraq as well is facing a lot of turmoil. It is facing a battle that is very important to the United States, the battle against ISIS. And that is also, of course, with the overthrow of Saddam Hussein, something that the United States was very involved in. So what I would say is that we are intimately involved in these countries, whether their citizens are able to come to this country or not, simply because of the history, and the recent history. So, to me, it's always interesting to see how we'll be dealing with that as an administration moving forward, because these are issues that are going to remain very important. What happens in Libya, and indeed what happens in Iraq.
So you've been to a lot of places. We've covered that already, but where in the world have you always wanted to report but haven't exactly had the chance to?
Antarctica. And I was close, obviously. I was in South America and I never got there, which is super annoying. One of the things that you may have known from my reporting is that I'm really interested in environmental issues. I did a big project in the Amazon talking about deforestation. And I find the wild places of the earth, the remote places of the earth, just fascinating. And they're places that you often have trouble getting to because they are expensive to get to and they are so far away. So yeah, I would absolutely love to be able to go to Antarctica, because there's just a lot of interesting stories to tell down there, actually.
What are the challenges of getting people to stay engaged with news, which I imagine is especially challenging on weekends when everything is so divisive in the country right now?
It's one of the most challenging things at the moment. I think we know from looking at the data that people are very divided. This is very polarized right now. People are hewing more and more to wanting to hear news that confirms their own previously held opinions. They're less willing to listen. And so I think that that's why It's so valuable to have a space at NPR more generally, at Weekend Edition Sunday more specifically, where you can be more reflective of the news, where you can put the news into context, where you can give people a breathing space and the time to hear opinions in their full complexity. I think that that is a very valuable service to our listeners, and I think that that is certainly where we are focusing our efforts.
Hosting is obviously a pretty big change of pace, so how's the transition going, and what are some things that you miss about being out in the field?
So I miss being out in the field that I could wake up, I had my office at home, and I could just wear pajamas all day if I wasn't out reporting, so having to put on office clothes is very challenging. The thing that I like about being back here is that I am now not operating by myself. So when I'm out in the field in a country, I basically have someone that works with me as a producer, but it's basically me and the cat and the dog and my producer. And so there's not a lot of people to bounce ideas off of. You know, now there's just an enormous staff of smart people to talk to about the issues of the day, where, you know, you can really craft what you're trying to say, the questions that you're going to ask by asking people who really know what they're talking about. And that is amazing to bump into Sam Sanders on the hall and just sort of say, hey, what do you think about this? You know, I heard you mention this on the politics podcast, but, you know, I was thinking this, this, that, and the next thing, or to talk to one of our many really bright editors about how we're going to tackle a particular conversation is, I think, one of the best parts of the job. You know, I'm no longer sort of operating by myself, but, you know, I have a whole group of people to sort of turn to when we're trying to get this right.
Our current political and media landscapes have created new levels of distrust, both with the new administration and with the media. So just to wrap up, from your vantage point, what can the Trump administration and or the news media do to earn back that trust?
Well, I don't know that the question, I put the question quite that way. I think a couple of things. First of all, there is no such thing, in my view, as the news media. You know, we're so many different types of news organizations with different reporters, with different editorial slants. I mean, is Fox News the same as CNN? Is NPR the same as Bloomberg? I mean, we're just so many, you know, we have so many different focuses and we have so many different ways of doing things that to put us all together, actually, I think does a disservice to what it is that we do. My general opinion is that this administration has taken a combative position towards the press. Some may feel that it's warranted. His supporters certainly do. Others feel that he's overstepping, the bounds. But I think that that's not for us to engage in necessarily. I mean, we can have discussions on air about it, but I don't think as the media, as the press, we should also get into a combative relationship with the administration. They can take any tack that they want, but ultimately, you know, we're here to fairly report, to try and illuminate our listeners and our readers, and to really, as we've always done with every single administration, basically speak truth to power and to hold our elected officials accountable for what they do. That has always been the role of the press since the Republic was established. It is based in the First Amendment. That's how important the Founding Fathers thought the role of the press was. And so we need to live up to that responsibility and do our jobs. Just do our jobs. That is ultimately what we should do. The job that we've always done and the job that we'll continue to do.
I love that answer, too. I couldn't agree more. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about hosting Weekend Edition or the reporting you've done in the past?
Yeah, no, I think that's it. It's fun. It's wild. It's a wild ride.